Welcome to A Course in Miracles.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Not a fear of what?
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
We say that sometimes, right? Oh my God. Barks out. It's like, you know, it's almost like swearing, you know. It's the highest appeal. Oh my God. This is really something. Oh my God. So, you know, welcome to a spiritual meeting. And we have to make up this word, God, for, you know, God. So tonight we're starting another section. Still the same theme of obstacles to peace. And it's still going to have a tinge of death in it. So don't worry, it won't be all that exciting. Such a large discussion on death we do this last couple of weeks. But, you know, we look at things from their opposites often as an easy way to learn them. There's a high contrast you can learn quite quickly. Subtle changes, it's hard. You know. Oh my God! God. So, let's just spend a few moments and listen in. I took some excerpts out of A Course in Miracles, and I just did a random search on God is, and then whatever it says, I just took that. So, take a few breaths, settle in, and let's just listen to a few of the snippets of what Course says about God is.
God is. God is generous. God is real. God is gracious. God is very quiet. God is sanity. God is not at war. God is sure. God is whole. God is the call to the unlimited. God is my life and yours. God is right. God is love. God is life. God is here. God is knowable. God is as dependent on you as you are on him. God is not conflicted. God is my source. God is beyond failure. God is not symbolic. He is fact. God has no image. God is without limit. God is all in all. God is an idea. God is the mind with which I think. God is our companion. God is wholly real. God is not fear. God is ready now. God is the giver of life. God is just. God is everything and everywhere. God is my strength. God is my source. God is the light in which I see. God is the only light. God is the mind with which I think. God is glad to have you look on him. God is not seen, but only understood. God is the love in which I forgive. God is the strength in which I trust. God is more than you, only because he created you. God is fair. God is not a stranger to his sons. God is certain. God is in everything I see. God is limitless. God is not mistaken. God is a means as well as end. God is what created me. God is everything I am. God is lonely without his sons. God is but love. God is our goal. God is the alternate to dreams of fear. God is with me. God is my refuge and security. God is my Father. God is merciful and did not let his Son abandon him. We say, God is, and then we cease to speak.
you're ready, please open your eyes. There is a mystery that just won't go away. When we say God is, there's a presence that won't go away. When we say God is, there's a largeness. When we say God is, can't and don't need to define God. It just, it would make this mystery smaller. Would make the largeness smaller. It's only enough to know that simple experience that follows when you say God is. That's the power that goes beyond words. It's a journey beyond words to allow this presence to be in you. That moment after you hear God is that. So we're going to dig into, I haven't heard it any place else than A Course in Miracles, but it is a challenge. A Course in Miracles is going to say that you have a fear of God. You have an active fear of God. And that you feel safer, stronger, better, not having to deal with God. It's interesting, I think. It's an amazing piece of this teaching. And I think it has the ability to open our minds to this mystery by going right at it. Going right at our experience, our personal experience of a fear of God. Hold God out at arm's length. Seek God. But don't go finding that. Don't go actually being that. No, that might be trouble. So turn to text page 420. In the text. And we're going to read through quite a few pages, actually. Because this all works together. So, when you're ready, would you start reading for us? The fourth obstacle.
The fourth obstacle. The fear of God. What would you see without the fear of death? What would you feel and think if death held no attraction for you? Very simply, you would remember your father. The creator of life, the source of everything that lives, father of the universe, and the the universe of universes, everything that lies even beyond them, would you remember? And as this memory rises in your mind, peace must still surmount a final obstacle, after which is salvation completed and the Son of God entirely restored to sanity. Or here, your world does end. Mm-hmm.
The fourth obstacle to be surmounted hangs like a heavy veil before the face of Christ. Yet as his face rises beyond it, shining with joy because he is in his Father's love, peace will lightly brush the veil aside and run to meet him and to join with him at last. For this dark veil, which seems to make the face of Christ himself like to a leper's, and the bright rays of his Father's love that light his face with glory appear as streams of blood fade in the blazing light beyond in it when the fear of death is gone.
Pass.
Anthony?
E?
Mm-hmm.
This is the darkest veil, upheld by the belief in death and protected by its attraction. The dedication to death and to its sovereignty is but the solemn vow, the promise made in secret to the ego, never to lift this veil, not to approach it, nor even to suspect that it is there. This is the secret bargain made with the ego to keep what lies beyond the veil forever blotted out and unremembered. Here is your promise never to allow union to call you out of separation. The great amnesia in which the memory of God seems quite forgotten, the cleavage of yourself from you, the fear of God, the final step in your dissociation.
See how the belief in death would seem to save you. For if this were gone, what could you fear but life? It is the attraction of death that makes life seem to be ugly, cruel, and tyrannical. You are no more afraid of death than of the ego. These are your chosen friends. For in your secret alliance with them, you have agreed never to let the fear of God be lifted, so you can look upon the grace of the face of Christ and join him in his Father.
Mm-hmm.
Every obstacle that peace must flow across is surmounted in just the same way. The fear that raised it yields to the love beyond, and so the fear is gone. And so it is with this. The desire to get rid of peace and drive the Holy Spirit from you fades in the presence of the quiet recognition that you love him. The exaltation of the body is given up in favor of the spirit, which you love as you could never love the body. Any appeal of death is lost forever as love's attraction stirs and calls to you. From beyond each of the obstacles to love, love itself has called, and each has been surmounted by the power of the attraction of what lies beyond. Your wanting fear seemed to be holding them in place. Yet when you heard the voice of love beyond them, you answered and they disappeared.
And now you stand in terror before what you swore never to look upon. Your eyes look down, remembering your promise to your friends. The loveliness of sin, the delicate appeal of guilt, the holy waxen image of death, and the fear of vengeance, not to raise your eyes. And the fear of vengeance of the ego, you swore in blood not to desert, all rise and bid you not to raise your eyes. For you realize that you look on this and let the veil be lifted. They will be gone forever. all of your friends, your protectors, and your home will vanish. Nothing that you remember now will you remember.
It seems to you the world will utterly abandon you if you but raise your eyes. And all that will occur is you will leave the world forever. This is the reestablishment of your will. Look upon it open-eyed, and you will nevermore believe that you are at the mercy of things beyond you, forces you cannot control, and thoughts that come to you against your will. It is your will to look on this. No mad desire, no trivial impulse to forget again, no stab of fear, nor the cold sweat of seeming death can stand against your will. For what attracts you from beyond the veil is also deep within you, unseparated from it and completely one.
The lifting of the veil. Forget not that you came this far together, you and your brother, and it was surely not the ego that led you here. No obstacle of peace can be surmounted through its help. It does not open up its secrets, and then you look upon them and go beyond them. It will not have you see its weakness, and that it has no power to keep you from the truth. The guide who brought you here remains with you, and when you raise your eyes, you will be ready to look on terror with no fear at all. But first, lift up your eyes and look on your brother, an innocence born of complete forgiveness of his illusions, and through the eyes of faith that sees them not. Mm-hmm.
No one can look upon the fear of God unterrified unless he has accepted the atonement and learned illusions are not real. No one can stand before this obstacle alone, for he could not have reached this far unless his brother walked beside him. And no one would dare to look on it without complete forgiveness of his brother in his heart. Stand you here a while and tremble not. You will be ready. Let us join together in a holy instant here in this place where the purpose given in a holy instant has led you. And let us join in faith that he who brought us here together will offer you the instant you need, and that you will accept it for my love and his.
Yeah. Nor is it possible to look on this too soon. This is the place to which everyone must come when he is ready. Once he has found his brother, he is ready. Yet merely to reach the place is not enough. A journey without a purpose is still meaningless. And even when it is over, it seems to make no sense. How can you know that it is over unless you realize its purpose is accomplished? Here, with the journey's end before you, you see its purpose, and it is here you choose whether to look upon it or wander on, only to return and make the choice again.
And to look upon the fear of God does need some preparation. Only the sane can look on stark insanity and raving madness with pity and compassion, but not with fear. For only if you share in it does it seem fearful, and you do share in it until you look upon your brother with perfect faith and love and tenderness. Before complete forgiveness, you will still stand unforgiving. You are afraid of God because you fear your brother. Those you do not forgive, you fear, and no one reaches love with fear beside them.
This brother who stands beside you still seems to be a stranger. You do not know him, and your interpretation of him is very fearful. And you attack him still to keep what seems to be yourself unharmed. Yet in his hands is your salvation. You see his madness, which you hate because you share it. And all the pity and forgiveness that would heal it gives way to fear. Brother, you need forgiveness of your brother, for you will share in madness or in heaven together. And you and he will raise your eyes in faith together or not at all.
Beside you is one who offers you the chalice of atonement, for the Holy Spirit is in him. Would you hold his sins against him or accept his gift to you? Is this giver of salvation your friend or enemy? Choose which he is, remembering that you will receive of him according to your choice. He has in him the power to forgive your sin as you for him. Neither can give it to himself alone. And yet your Savior stands beside each one. Let him be what he is and seek not to make of love an enemy.
Behold your friend, the Christ who stands beside you. How holy and how beautiful he is. Now you thought he sinned because you cast the veil of sin upon him to hide his loveliness. Yet still he holds forgiveness out to you to share his holiness. This enemy, this stranger, still offers you salvation as his friend. The enemies of Christ, the worshippers of sin, know not whom they attack.
This is your brother, crucified by sin, and waiting for a release from pain. You not offer him forgiveness, when only he can offer it to you. For his redemption, he will give you yours. As surely as God created every living thing and loves it, he will give it truly, for it will be both offered and received. There is no grace of heaven that you cannot offer to your brother and release from your most holy friend. Let him withhold it not, for by receiving it you offer it to him, and he will receive of you what you received of him. Redemption has been given you to give your brother, and thus receive it. Whom you forgive is free, and what you give, you share. Forgive the sins of what your brother thinks he has committed, and all the guilt you think you see in him.
Here is the holy place of resurrection to which we come, to which we will return until redemption is accomplished and received. Think who your brother is before you would condemn him, and offer thanks to God that he is holy and has been given the gift of holiness for you. Join him in gladness and remove all trace of guilt from his disturbed and tortured mind. Help him to lift the heavy burden of sin you laid upon him and he accepted as his own, and toss it lightly and with happy laughter away from him. Press it not like thorns against his brow, nor nail him to it, unredeemed and hopeless.
Give faith to your brother, for faith and hope and mercy are yours to give. Into the hands that give, the gift is given. Look on your brother, and seeing him the gift of God, you would receive. It is almost Easter, the time of resurrection. Let us give redemption to each other and share in it, that we may rise as one in resurrection, not separate from death. Behold the gift of freedom that I give the Holy Spirit for you. And be you and your brother free together, as you offer to the Holy Spirit the same gift. In giving it, receive it of him in return for what you gave. He leadeth you and me together, that we might meet here in this holy place and make the same decision.
Free your brother here as I freed you. Give him the self-same gift, nor look upon him with condemnation of any kind. see him as guiltless as I look on you, and overlook the sins he thinks he sees within himself. Offer your brother freedom and complete release from sin here in the garden of seeming agony and death.
Could you read that sentence again, please?
Offer your brother freedom and complete release from sin here in the garden of seeming agony and death. So will we prepare together the way unto the resurrection of God's Son, and let him rise again to glad remembrance of his Father, who knows no sin, no death, but only life eternal.
Together we will disappear into the presence beyond the veil, not to be lost but found, not to be seen but known, and knowing nothing in the plan God has established for salvation will be left undone. This is the journey's purpose, without which is the journey meaningless. Here is the peace of God, given to you eternally by Him. Here is the rest and quiet that you seek, the reason for the journey from its beginning. Heaven is the gift you owe your brother, the debt of gratitude you offer to the Son of God in thanks for what He is and what His Father created Him to be.
Think carefully how you would look upon the giver of this gift, for as you look on Him, so will the gift itself appear to be. As He is seen as either the giver of guilt or of salvation, so His offering be seen and so received. The crucified give pain because they are in pain, but the redeemed give joy because they have been healed of pain. Everyone gives as he receives, but he must choose what it will be that he receives, and he will recognize his choice by what he gives and what is given him. Nor is it given anything in hell or heaven to interfere with his decision.
See, you came this far because the journey was your choice. And no one undertakes to do what he believes is meaningless. What you had faith in still is faithful and watches over you in faith, so gentle yet so strong that it would lift you far beyond the veil and place the Son of God safely within the sure protection of his Father. Now here is the only purpose that gives this world and the long journey through this world whatever meaning lies in them. And beyond this, they are meaningless. You and your brother stand together, still, without conviction. They have a purpose. Yet it is given you to see this purpose in your holy friend and recognize it as your own. Do you see the circle? Through all of that discussion, can you feel a little bit of the reflection of your own mind witnessing something you thought was outside you, you were sure was outside you, and that the way back to your mind is going to be reflected by your choice? And your brother, the other, is going to serve this mighty role to bring heaven back to your mind. Whoa! Do you see the circle? As you give, you receive. Once again. Now, we as human beings, we're drowning in cost. We're drowning in losing. We're drowning in things that are taken away from us. As fast as they're given, they seem to go. And the Course says, it says, yep, that's what you made. A world of lack and a world of loss with the promise of love. But if you reverse that entirely, what you truly are is the promise of love that would supply all lack and all loss. By completely reversing how the ego sees the world, you can step into the truth of what you are. of your awakening, of what's really happening. Rather than looking for love, no, you are the love that would heal all things. All right. We read this whole section because it really works as a whole message. So let's see if we can dig in and grab a few more pointers. Okay, first off, in paragraph 1 on page 420, we'd spend days and days talking about death and appreciating the body, and these are some pretty twisted thoughts that the ego has on how to be peaceful. Now he says, what would you see without the fear of death? And remember, when we talked about death, we explored that it's not just death of the body. It's the idea of loss. Of any type. Your money, your pet, your car, your life, your skills, your
family,
opportunity to be loved, your achievements. Any type of loss to A Course in Miracles is the same level as death. Good to catch this, because now you can witness how death actually is operating all the time. And every once in a while something stops, the heart stops too. But in order for us to have our spiritual awakening from our material addiction, you have to see that this whole idea of death is just loss. What if you had no fear of death? Let me rephrase that. What if you had no fear of loss? What if you have no fear of loss? It wasn't possible. Does it feel different? What if you had no fear of loss? Just take that on for a moment, will you, in a little meditation. Just take that in. Go ahead. Take in what it would be like to have absolutely no fear of loss. Impossible. Take a fresh breath under that easy thought. No fear of loss. Nothing can be taken from you. This is what it means to return to wholeness. Okay. Now, he answers it right here. He says, very simply, you would remember your Father, the creator of life, the source of everything that lives, the Father of the universe and the universe of universes and of everything that lies even beyond them. Would you remember? It is a journey beyond the scope that the human brain can handle. But you can feel it if you drop into the simplicity of the idea, like, there's, what if there was no, what if I could feel no loss? You would go right into trouble, wouldn't you? You'd go head on into trouble, and you'd say, okay, that's how we handle this. Ha! Without the fear, without the debilitating aspect of loss. We're using the word death for a little more drama, but what we're really talking about with A Course in Miracles is loss of any type. It really weakens us, takes our peace, and most of the time, it never happens. The loss doesn't actually come about to be the way you thought. What a waste! Just lock, you open the window a bit for me. There goes some life and some love and some happiness out the window. Yeah.
You know, it's like when you read a book about somebody, you know, like maybe a spinal, whatever, where they lose everything. You know, everything's blown up, story has got nothing left, and the guy's just going on his wits. And you kind of, you know, you don't want to do that, but yet, when we read about, hear about it, it's like, wow, this guy's got nothing, and he just keeps going and keeps going. And you kind of like admire it. It's something you want, but you can't quite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the freedom.
The freedom. It is very freeing. You go, God, this guy's nothing. Nothing's attached. No attachments. It's like some free guy.
Yeah. Yeah. You
lose everything, and it's like, when you get into the book, it's like, wow, this is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And the story sounds tragic as the things are being lost.
Yeah.
But once you get past, once it's settled that it's lost.
Yeah.
Then I know some people in the room have been there. And then you start with a very, very simple sense of I'm moving forward. And this is all that I'm doing. No idea of where, what's going to come next. A simple state. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, or like when you need a survival skill, you realize you don't need anything.
Mm.
You're like, one of the goals is, well, I want to be able to have nothing.
Mm.
Just be able to.
The maximum survival skill.
Yeah, you need nothing.
There's a television show called Naked and Afraid.
Yeah.
You guys know about that?
I know of it, never seen it.
A reality TV show, and they drop two people off with no clothes and strangers. They each get one object, and then they live for a week trying to survive.
That's 21 days.
What?
21
days. Is it 21 days?
Yeah.
21 days. But yeah, maximum survival, the simplicity.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you hear, you know, in songs and, you know, people talk about, like, when you've lost everything and you have nothing left to lose, that you have, like, just a fearlessness about you. That you can just approach the world like people who've had really tragic losses, like loss of their children or something, and then they're just like, there's nothing more bad that could happen to me, so they lose their fear.
Mm-hmm.
Made me think of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like,
well, the lesson then is not so much belief in loss brings on loss in a way.
Yes.
So if we didn't believe in loss, then we wouldn't lose anything.
Yes. That's true. You couldn't experience it. That's right.
And if you didn't lose anything, you'd have everything ever won. Knowing God.
In the present moment, you would be capable of being full. In the present moment. That's right.
So it's our thought about loss that keeps us losing.
Yes. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, it's like they have two options, you know, when something like that happens, you can be free, go with it, really be free, or the other option is you can be a zombie.
Yeah.
I think that's the basis of all these zombie movies people come up with. They give up and just be a zombie.
Suffer along the way.
Yep.
Maybe fight and scratch and yell and scream about something that is foregone. And then become a zombie.
Then they get to eat brains.
Hey! Yeah!
Makes perfect sense to me. I don't get out much.
That's perfect, John.
So I think the fear of God for me then is, if I said I'm willing to give up being afraid of losing, I'd have to trust that God would provide me with the bliss and the happiness and the everything that I'm saying I don't want to lose, and it wouldn't be true.
That's right. And that's in this paragraph what we read, is that we would end up giving up our security and our safety, the things that we believe to be our security and our safety. We would have to be willing to let those be illusions, the things that we know. Mm-hmm. Wow, now we're talking about going to a spiritual awareness. Because the physical is all about staying safe and warm and fed and paid. But yeah, that's right. You have to at least let your mind go every once in a while, if in not this very moment, then in a meditation at some point, to step outside of the security of what you know from a body. So you can have a spiritual experience of freedom. Like, what would it be like to not be able to feel lost? Wander through the world, and the world does what it does. The world does seem to take breath away, and money away, and time away, and children away. And there does seem to be all sorts of loss. What if you couldn't feel it. And you just experienced and experienced. Wouldn't that be in your mind? Just like the fear would be in your mind. This is the point. Is that you do have this immense ability in horrible circumstances to choose freedom and peace and even joy. It's there. Because this is a dream of fear. Now, we've peopled it, filled it up with people. People who are doing the wrong thing. At just the right time, they're doing the wrong thing, for example. We'd have to reverse our perception of that. We need a miracle around those, if that's what's going on for you. Otherwise, it might be a sickness or whatever.
We have to believe that all we have within us is love.
Yes.
Because if all we have within us was love, then we wouldn't see anything wrong with what anybody was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Another case of no judgment.
Yeah, pure love. Mm-hmm. Anthony?
Well, I'm a member of AA, and this really rings true. Because they read the Ninth Step Promises every meeting. Hmm. And it says, fear of loss and economic insecurity will leave us. Okay? And that's one of the things. But, as you go to the last step, the only way to maintain that, you know, that fear is going to leave you is to give it away. The 12th step, you have to give this gift away to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a friend who leads a meeting who tells a story of he was having a real bad day, he was afraid of what was going on, and he called up his sponsor. And his sponsor listened to him, and he said for like a minute, he said, you know what to do. Click. And he said, oh, he's right. So he went to the coffee shop and got donuts and some coffee, dug 2 dozen donuts, a whole bunch of those urns of coffee, and went out on the levee with his big book and started just giving the donuts and coffee away, not even speaking, until somebody started saying, what is that book that you have? And he would start talking about AA and stuff like that. In the midst of doing this, all of a sudden, 3 cop cars pull up. And are going to start arresting everybody, including him, until one cop saw the big book open. And he said, wait a minute. I know what you're doing. He said, pack it up, boys. Get out of here. This guy's got it under control. Mm-hmm. And the cops leave.
Mm-hmm.
He had zero fear.
Mm.
He was giving it away. And God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, protected him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wasn't giving into the fear. He wasn't giving into the loss. He was just giving.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's receiving as he was giving. Even if nobody asked him about that book, there was a reality for him. He was committed to his giving.
And it says in the big book that you should not be afraid to go to the darkest place to go help another alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he did.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. Very good. Yeah.
I think it's an amazing story.
Absolutely.
And it ties into what we're talking about.
Absolutely does. Because it's how, it's us showing up with our brother. It's us showing up with our brother, not avoiding our brother. Not avoiding the problem. It's actually going at the problem, at the darkness, and saying, how is this going to save me? Because I know this problematic brother has in him my own freedom. How can I say that so confidently? Because if you decide that that SOB can't hurt you, then he is holding your damnation. He's holding your hell. If you decide he does not have any power over you, in fact, he is looking for love because he also is love reaching for love. Then he is your savior.
But how do you just change your mind?
Perfect question. How do you just change your mind? No, that's true. That's why I said we need to drop into this moment of silence where we would say, what is it like to not even be able to feel fear? It's a miracle. It's a shift in perception. From that strength you go forward. If your mind needs to be changed so badly, you're drowning in the hate and the fear, it's not going to change automatically because nobody will make you a victim. The Holy Spirit won't come in and make you a victim. No. It has to be that somehow you have visited this power of freedom of choice somewhere so that you know you are capable of this. Course in Miracles?
Oh, hey. Peter, come in late tonight?
Absolutely, yeah. Anytime. Welcome.
I don't make a habit of this.
No problem. Pull up a pillow. Welcome.
Thank you.
Or you can get a chair.
That's even.
I'm hardly ever late. I didn't want to miss it.
So how does this change even possible? It's only possible if by some crazy way your mind has discovered its abilities. It sounds too simple, huh? Abilities make possibilities. So that when you get into trouble, when you get into fear, when you get into anxiety, you get into trouble, you can say, I don't have to go this way. I know the situation, which is about 10%, right? Remember? Situations turns out to be 10% unmovable problem. I don't have to go this way. I have the ability to take this pressure off. Even as the world continues around me, I can take the pressure off of me. You have to discover that ability somewhere along the way. And that's why I think A Course in Miracles and doing the workbook through a blind day, you don't know what's going to come that day. You just commit to doing the workbook. And, you know, one of the lessons is I could choose peace instead of this, just to pick an obvious one. I could choose peace instead of this problem. I could. Any of them will work. I am the light of the world. My sinful brother is my guide to pain. My sinless brother is my guide to peace, in which I choose I will behold, just to put a fine point on it. Lesson 351. You discover with the workbook that you have this power. And then the world swallows you up one day and you find yourself in angst. But you discovered that you have this power. And at one point you just stand up right out of the hell of the moment and say, nah, I'm not going there today. I'm going to choose peace now instead as I deal with it. I'll deal with it peacefully. But you still deal with it. That's how it's done.
It's the whole, so, absolutely. And I think that there's a gift in that that is beyond us, that is additional fuel besides the empowerment that we get from realizing we did that. But the holy instant, that like moment of like complete constancy and trust, and that and just knowing, like, it's not even that something doesn't matter, it just actually doesn't matter. And so, because you're just in that constant safe moment, however short it may be, I don't know, for me that's what it's like. I know I'm okay, and that this isn't really, none of this matters. And then that's sort of what fuels me to then do the actual, like, letting go over and over again. But connecting every once in a while to that bigger picture, mm-hmm. of what you really are, like, mm-hmm. you're not doing it alone.
Yeah. And there's also that willingness to ask the Holy Spirit. They're saying, I don't know, and please, the part of my mind that does know, come talk to me. That's what the Holy Spirit is.
It's a little bit, for me, like saying, why not be peaceful?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of worrying about whatever's going on,
mm-hmm.
or feeling bad in some way, and then saying, and okay, I'm planning on being peaceful, but I don't know how, so then Holy Spirit, come and help me.
Yes.
Setting the goal in advance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Setting in advance, you're going to choose peace. Yes.
Well, I've just found that, you know, for a while I was doing the lessons, and anytime I would have like a fearful thought or a negative thought or a judgmental thought, I would try to just like redirect my thinking to the line of the lesson, and that really helped a lot for a while. Mm-hmm. And then lately, for some reason, like the lessons are different, and sometimes the lesson of the day line doesn't do it for me, you know, when I'm like saying it, and then I'll start to think about wanting to say other lessons, and then I'm like, well, I shouldn't, because it says not to be more than one lesson in a day, and then I get myself all tripped up, and then I just get bombarded by the fearful negative thinking, and that sucks.
Yes. Hey, gonna give you permission to do any lesson you've already done.
Okay.
You got it.
Yeah.
Okay? Can always go. Don't go forward. That's spoiler alert.
Okay.
You can go backwards. You can go pick up lesson 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 anytime.
Yeah, those are good ones. Mm-hmm.
You just go in and brainwash yourself back to sanity with those things anytime.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Didn't you say that one time when a situation arises? I thought you said go back to 34. Did you mean go back from 1, 2, 3?
Number 1. Number 2. Yeah. Yes. You bet. Okay. 34 is good too, of course.
How about 11? Why is such a problem?
And 11, you can't go wrong with that. It helps you understand your brother. But that's right. You can go backward anytime because you have huge strength there in reserve. That's like your bank account. You can draw on that. And it will become larger as you do. So, yeah, please do. You bet. And the more of these lessons you know, the more you have in your bank account to be able to rely on. Yeah. Thank you. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay, now. Okay, ready? So, paragraph 1. And, new guy, I forgot your name. David, that's right. Just, hi, welcome. We're on page 420. Okay, now. So, this is describing in one paragraph what the journey of enlightenment is. The healing of your mind, you know, it's just...
420.
Okay, so...
Well, there's a pair of glasses sitting on the counter.
Oh, yeah, we got reading glasses.
I've got like 16 pair in my car.
Hey, we'll bring a pair here and drop it off.
Yeah.
So lift up the little curtain. And it's on the first shelf up there.
On the left.
Right behind your hand, if you've got.
Left.
On the left, usually. Good, good.
Thank you.
Okay, so he's just pointing out, remember, death is loss. Pointing out, when you can free your mind of loss, just take a little mini meditation right in the moment. Say, well, what if nothing was actually lost as I go through this problem? I can handle it. I can handle it. Okay.
Well, God, or... the voice of God can handle it for me.
Yes. Yes. I'll be coached. I won't be comfortless.
A lot of times I say to myself, okay, I want peace, but I get it.
Yeah. I can't get it, but the Holy Spirit can guide me.
Yeah.
You bet. I do not know, but there's one inside me who does.
Right.
I'm going to go quiet and let that one guide.
You know, when you first started off and you said, what if I had no fears? What came to me was, if I had no fears, what I would have is I could feel all the love inside of myself all the time, and that would be so wonderful.
It would be like the light is on all the time.
That would just feel great.
It would feel great.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, you would be literally in love. And as this memory rises in your mind, peace must still surmount a final obstacle, so even as good as it gets, after which is salvation completed, and the Son of God entirely restored to sanity. For here your world does end. Your world does end.
Isn't that what's the scary part of having a god?
That's point. Yep. Yeah, until you recognize that your world is holding you in a cage.
The end of suffering cannot be lost.
Oh, man, sister. Woo!
What'd you say?
It's not my words, it's coarse words, but the end of suffering cannot be lost.
Boom. Thank you.
We think it's a sacrifice to have our world end, but
Our world is suffering. We're mm-hmm. suffering. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is the whole reason why the Course exists. It's because we backed ourselves into a corner and we keep pounding ourselves into the suffering corner. And it's just unnecessary. Enough is enough. So our older brother, part of our mind, has already transcended the suffering, says, I'll throw you a bone. I'll throw you some light. In a way that will not scare you further into your darkness. So it's really going to come from you. So this is where we have things like a miracle shifting your perception. The Christ mind is your perception seeing the wholeness. It will not happen to you. That would take your power away. So forget it. It's not going to happen to you. It's going to happen as you. You're going to recognize you are the love that you seek. And that will light a fire. This is to be the light in the dream. This will be what shines away the darkness. Very, very, very personal. But oh my God, you'll be grateful for it because you will not have to thank anything else or go anywhere else. And it will be yours to share. It will be a great moment.
See, that's what I fear.
Yes?
What I fear is the things I love.
Yes.
Will be gone. If all I have is the love I have, then the other love will be gone. That's what I fear.
Yes. Well, the other love is a block to love, it turns out.
I hear you, but I don't understand.
I know. But you have to allow it. Just allow this crazy dream, this crazy thought. You know what forgiveness is? A Course Calls Forgiveness is just another dream. But it's a dream that ends the dreaming. It ends a dream of loss. And so indeed, you've got these perfect blocks to pure love, to the flow of love, in this world, as these things that you would get love from. They are the perfect blocks to your love. Because the love is supposed to come from them.
I might have said it wrong. I would miss the love that they are.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
If they were gone somehow.
It's like they would be gone somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not that I need love from them, because I know I have it. I'm only going to know it for myself here.
Mm-hmm.
I would miss the love that they are. Not that I would need it.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me think about that for a second. Contradicting myself.
But that's all right, because you're exploring.
Yeah.
There's a word in this book that goes along with enlightenment, and it's a word that the ego has a big problem with, and it's eternity. Eternity at once is empty, and it's also extremely free. So this book uses that word to describe when the ego really has a problem. The word eternal is going to get involved, because the ego needs things that it can analyze and start and stop and measure. Real love with a capital L, that's called divine now, is eternal. That's all the time.
And then unconditional.
And thank you very much. Unconditional. That's the only love that will satisfy you.
I have a question, because I'm thinking about the concept of like letting go of fear and loss. Like my biggest fear is that those I love, like, aren't going to be okay. Like, they're not even that I'm not going to be okay. Like, I feel very connected to God, and like I'm an eternal being, but I feel like worried about the other
you
yes. Yeah, that's a tricky one, especially as a mother, because you have an attachment to what okay looks like for them. So it's perfectly natural, of course, and for the body. You do the best you can to make all that come true. With your spiritual awakening, you have to come into each moment starting and seeing that not only are they okay, but they are now the source of love for you. That's their whole purpose. What? See, the ego says they're a source of loss for you, because you have to worry about their well-being. And we would turn that 180 degrees around and say that this struggling one, in this moment, only in this moment, if you get into time, you're going to lose yourself in the ego again. You got to get present, present, present. In this moment, they are now a source of love for me.
What does that mean, a source of love?
And I am for them. What that means is that you are now, they are for you, the living reflection of God and of life. You just leave it at life. They are the living reflection of life. Even if they die. Even if they die, you still come present with the Holy Spirit and say, that memory now, if it has to be a memory, is a reflection of life to me now. Because the other way is hell. If you go the other way, it's loss and death, and it's hell. And that's how the world was made.
That's tolerant and that's transcendent.
Yeah. Absolutely, it's a transcendent thought. We would have to get up out of the dark box the ego would insist we have to be in. But as we study here, every single time we meet, you are your next thought. That's what you are. That's your experience, is your next thought. And we also study here from time to time, from chapter 6, he says, on his story of the crucifixion, because the author says, you know, I'll get the story for you. You know, crawled up and across, you know. Didn't go well those last few minutes. Hurt a lot. But his message was, he says, I'm going to go through the worst possible excruciating punishment that the world knows. And love will come after that. Just to blow past the limit that the ego and the world insist that a suffering or dead body has to endure. Or a dying body.
So as a mother.
Yes.
I'm going to reverse this a little bit.
Okay.
Because what makes me feel good about what you just said is that no matter what happens to me, I am a source of love for them.
Yes.
And they will always have it.
Always have that. Whether you're alive or dead, they'll always have that.
That's what I want to know.
This is your presence and your reality for them. And I've had some pretty heady conversations with people about their parents, and they've hated them on the surface, and within a few moments after I separated the idea of who the parent was versus what the parent is, the love came out right away, even with some of the vitriolic comments that were spoken of before, and tears flowed, and they recognized that the love, the parent was this.
As a psychologist, what I know from what you're saying is no matter what parents do, what they do wouldn't bother their children if the children didn't love them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I love my parents, and look how they're treating me, they must not love me, is what gets in their head.
That's what gets in their head.
Yeah.
So I think in terms of like the what I was talking about, the fear of, you know, those that I love not being okay. For me, the only thing that sometimes works is if I go back to the lesson of, you know, I don't know what anything's for and I don't know what anything means, and I think about this world as being an illusion on top of us being pure, perfect, source, God, beings, and And then I can say, whatever I'm seeing here is not really what's real, and it's all contributing to, like, the greater good or something. Like, just, like, I don't get it at all. Yes. And so I shouldn't stress about something that I don't understand.
Yes.
That's, like, the only thing that seems to give me peace of mind. And is that, like, that's right?
That's absolutely right. And what you're doing is going directly against the ego, and you're saying, I do not know. I trust that there is love. I can't see it, but I still trust it, and let it be, and let me be a part of it in whatever way I can, and I don't know how, but let it be. This is moving yourself out of the darkness, making yourself available for the light. Absolutely, Cecily, that's the lesson. That's the undoing of the ego.
So, unconditional love part. So, if you believe that God could have unconditional love for everything, all beings, all things, and I can believe that a parent would have an unconditional love for a child, but I don't understand unconditional love for self.
Yes, yes.
I can't get there.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Isn't it true, though, David, that you could change I can't get there by I'm on the path to getting there?
Well, there you go. I want to. Mm-hmm. A lot of forgiveness.
Yes.
Choose to be on the path to knowing unconditional love.
And then wanting it from someone else.
Yeah, we have to start going directly opposite to what the ego would like. And that is, for yourself, some pretty major thoughts like, I don't know myself. The ego says, I know myself and I'm unlovable. That's going to be tough. And I don't love me, so why should anybody else love me? That's exactly what the ego is going to counsel. And it does. And it's for us in chapter 15. It says, you know, the reason why you go search a relationship is because you feel empty and you go to find somebody to fill your emptiness. And it's a lie, because you're offering something less value for something of more value so you can feel, oh my God. Okay? That's the twisted idea of the ego.
Then you can prove to them how wrong they were.
Yeah, that's right.
Confusion.
Yes. Yes, as the relationship matures.
That's a real shit.
Yeah.
See, I told you so.
I told you so. Should have known. Yeah, it was obvious. Yes.
Two examples of my life talking about this, about the shift of, you know, source of love, is the daddy issues that you brought up. I had those major, big time. But through my spiritual search and counseling and all this stuff, I realized that all he was doing was being a source of love for me. And in recognition of that, it was still hard to forgive. But lately, this past year, I know that the dam is finally starting to break, because when I talk to my family or other friends and the subject of my father comes up, it's no longer negative.
Wow.
I remember positive memories now, not negative. And I started to realize, whoa, when did that start to happen?
Wow, huh? Wow.
That was a huge flip.
Yeah.
The other one is, again, in AA, I go to the fellowship downtown, which is, we all call it the front lines, and that has shifted my perception hugely with the homeless people and other folks. The empathy and the compassion. I can go up to these people who I used to be totally afraid of and walk to the other side of the street and start a conversation with them. And some of these people now know me and are saying, hey, Anthony, that would never have happened before. I would have run away.
Yes. Walls have dropped, and now those people who have been a source of fear are now a source of love for you.
Absolutely.
Which is just what these later paragraphs talk about. It's a shift in perception about your brother, about what your ego was showing you. Now the Holy Spirit will show you. The same face!
Yeah. A year or 2 years ago, no, I couldn't conceive that I'd be able to do what I'm doing today.
Yes.
Yes. No way.
Yes.
I'd be running for the hills.
Right? What a shift. A shift in perception has occurred. And same with yourself, David, is that there will be a new view of you. And I'll spoiler alert, you'll find yourself innocent. Spoiler alert! But it comes. It comes because it's true. Not just because it feels good. It comes. And there's an arrest, there's a surrender that happens with that. Very simple.
I don't remember which lesson I was on, but in the late 90s, there was a sentence that God always thinks of us as innocent.
Yes.
Made me want to cry.
Yeah.
I stopped working. Spiritual fitness requires vigilance. I settled in for almost 2 decades. And I'm 60 now, and just found myself empty.
Yeah.
And way behind.
Yeah.
I'm 78, and I'm not much further along.
Yeah. and are we ever? But it's just, and so I grieve the lost years. But I also know that you can make it up in a day.
That's right.
But or not. But just getting on the path is the most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. All the time.
It beats the alternative.
It beats the alternative. The path. Okay. Beats the alternative.
Well, come and keep coming.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Now, what you say is so true that the time disappears. As the awakening occurs, the time does disappear. So the regret for losing 20 years, that disappears too. Oh, thank goodness.
A couple of beautiful children came out of those years.
Oh, really? Yeah, so okay.
Okay. Just.
There's some decoration along the way.
Ignored the fitness.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And yeah.
When I talk about my divorce, I say my husband gave me 4 wonderful things. Gave me a fairly easy life for quite a while. He gave me 2 beautiful children, and he divorced me. And I'm not sure which of those 4 things were the most important.
The voice of experience. Can't beat the wisdom there. Okay, move your eyes down the page now to paragraph 3 and sentence 3 on page 420. It says, "This is the secret bargain made with the ego to keep what lies beyond the veil, that's God, love, peace, forever blotted out and unremembered. Here is your promise never to allow union to call you out of separation. The great amnesia in which the memory of God seems quite forgotten, the cleavage of your true self from you, the fear of God, the final step in your dissociation." Dissociation is another word for separation. It's believing 2 things can exist completely unrelated. Okay. See how the belief in death would seem to save you? The belief in death would seem to save you. The perfect knife would be death, were it true, to separate you off. For if this were gone, belief in death were gone, what could you fear but life? Really think about the living. What? Yeah, that doesn't sound too bad. Yeah. It's the attraction of death that makes life seem so ugly and cruel and tyrannical. It's the attraction of death that makes life seem so be ugly, cruel, and tyrannical. Let me read it again. It's the attraction of death that makes life seem so ugly, cruel, tyrannical, and may I add with it, full of loss. That's
what the cruelty and ugly and tyrannical is about, isn't it?
That's right. If you couldn't feel loss, you'd be working your way through the ugly and tyrannical and working with it. But no, if you feel loss, it's all going to hurt. So loss now, you could start to feel the cost of loss spreading throughout your whole ego life. Guilt. We talked for months about guilt here. Guilt requires loss in order for the guilt to have traction. Either for you or somebody else, it doesn't matter. But loss has to be something working in your mind as real. Welcome to a spiritual meeting where we move our lives and our minds beyond what the material demands. Just for a moment, allow yourself to have an existence that does not know loss, nor can. Where you are the source of everything you seek. Just for a moment, let this thought light on your mind. And see if it doesn't lighten you up a little bit. Just a little bit is a large journey away from this world. Otherwise, you go down and it gets heavier. Them's your options. Okay. Real quick. Do we have time? You know, I don't think we have time. So let's skip that one. And turn to page 507.
In the text.
In the text, thank you. And look at the top of the page. Starting with paragraph 7. Anybody, who's up to bat? Anybody remember? David, would you read for us paragraph 7?
The special ones are all asleep, surrounded by a world of loveliness they do not see. Freedom and peace and joy stand here besides the bear on which they sleep.
And the bier is a funeral mound. It's a pile of dirt you put over the dead body.
And call them to come forth and awaken from their dream of death. Yet they hear nothing. They are lost in dreams of specialness. They beat the call that would awaken them. They curse God because he did not make their dream reality.
Can I just interject right here? The call that would awaken you tonight is that you can feel no loss.
Thank you, Will.
507. For tonight, the call is that you would give yourself the gift of a few moments of just feeling what it would be like that you could feel no loss. Feeling that freedom, this is the call to awaken. It seems like a joke, especially when you got problems and troubles you're working with. This is when you need it the most. What I'm talking about is making yourself miracle-minded. You're ready for a shift in perception, and the Holy Spirit will take it from there using your particular problem, whatever it would be. But open your mind and allow this Holy Spirit to work. Please continue.
Come curse God and die, but not by him who made not death, but only in the dream. Open your eyes a little. See the Savior God gave to you that you might look on him and give him back to his birthright. It is yours.
And this is perceiving your brother not as he's doing or what his body does, but your brother as what is empowering that being. It's the same that you. What is driving that being to do whatever it is they did is the same thing as driving you for your happiness. They went off and stole something and you went off to go get it back. But it's the same. Sameness. Okay, let's read another paragraph. David 2.
The slaves of specialness will yet be free. Such is the will of God and of his Son. Did God condemn himself to hell and to damnation? And do you will that this be done unto your Savior? God calls to you from him to join his will to save you both from hell. Look on the print of nails upon his hands that he holds out for you your forgiveness. God asks your mercy on his Son and on himself. Deny them not. They ask of you but that your will be done. They seek your love that you may love yourself. Love not your specialness instead of them. The print of nails is on your hands as well. Forgive your father. It was not his will that you be crucified. Wow.
You look at your suffering brother who's trying to blame it on the world and maybe on you, and look at the print of nails on their hand that they've been crucifying themselves. And if you believe in their story, you will also be crucifying them and you. This is reflection from your brother. Okay, turn back. I'm going to speed us along a bit. Turn back to 420.
Question.
Yeah.
It's like when you're looking at not believing in God's story, that's kind of like not supporting that behavior.
That's right.
That's kind of in that realm. That one's always gets me because it's kind of like there's depth there that I can't quite see all of it. But
well, because it's a two-sided coin that you have to deal with when you're dealing with somebody else's issues. Okay? One side is not supporting their poor idea of themselves. Their sickness, their anger, their loss. The other side of the same coin is not denying their opinion of themselves, their sickness, their loss, their anger. You don't support it, but you don't deny it. Now you have a chance of joining with them.
Takes a getting real deep with that takes effort.
It also means
you can attack yourself while you're doing it somehow. You got to quit doing that part.
Well, you'd have to have some judgment to get out and to make a problem out of it. If you get rid of the judgment, you simply don't support their sick idea of themselves, and you don't deny their sick idea of themselves. Do you see what I'm trying to get at here? They have an idea that they've been crucified, and they even that you did it. They have that idea. It does not help for you to deny that.
They're free to think that.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely, and they have every right to think that.
It's honest.
And you don't have to agree or disagree. You just have to accept it.
Now this is honest for you. That's right. In your unwillingness to support their weakness, their problem, this is how you can contribute and how they can see that maybe they don't have to be suffering as much. You this is your personal contribution. Don't support it, don't deny it.
For me, and I think I take this out of my hospice work, where there can be a lot of like loss or regret or all sorts of things going on for someone who's dying. It's like the way I do that, because people always say, what are you supposed to say then? Mm-hmm. But you know, with what you're saying, that don't do, you know, what do you actually say is, yes, a lot of times what people want to know. And I don't have an answer to this say, but accept that for me, how I walk that line is to just be I become very present. Just so present, I can kind of just feel this connection to somebody, and either, you know, the words come or we sit in silence together, but that's the only way I can do it.
Now you're available for all
the spirit. If I try to decide supposed to do,
very good.
I don't know what to do.
Very good. Being wholly present and not knowing, this allows the Holy Spirit to work with you in that moment with that situation. And it may be silence.
But it's just, it's a feeling you get to just be there.
That takes courage. That takes some courage for the ego not to say something, not to do a shoulder massage or something. No, just be. Yeah. Yes, yes.
I think I totally understand what you're saying, and I think that in some ways it's easier to do that with people that you don't know or that you're not intimately connected with than with family or loved ones, because my question, Andrew, was going to be that when I try to, I love this little brief meditation, what if there was no loss, when we did it, I just felt this lightness and this freedom, and when I get into meditation I can feel my energetic self connected to a larger energetic body, and it's great. And then when I try to be wholly present, just even in thought, with my daughter who I have difficulties with, it's so hard for me, because I have to imagine her to know who I'm trying to be connect with, but then that's her as like separate, as like separate person. Mm-hmm. And that comes along with all the issues that I associate with her.
Yeah.
And then if I try to just go into like the big sense of all, then I can't find her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I think I do. The her... separate, even with her, how you see her and the things she's going through, would, if you can switch to say that she is an extension of the all. I can't reach her from here. She's an extension of the whole. Instead of trying to see her as the same as the whole, she is an extension of the whole. So this would be not denying her beingness with all whatever's going on with her. Now you're not going to support it because that's your extension of the whole. Doesn't support that.
What I, for me, what that means is I don't believe it's true for her what she believes about herself.
Nice.
But I can support that she believes it and knows it and feels it. And
very good.
It and acts on it.
Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. And that's how you can join with her. She says, wow, you actually believe me? Yeah. I think you're wrong, but I believe you. What?
What
I believe
one
you.
One of my principles as a therapist is whatever someone tells me, I believe it's true for them.
Yeah.
Doesn't necessarily mean I believe it for me, but
yes.
I believe it's true for them.
Yeah, that's what I'm
and
talking
I operate
about.
As if, okay, it's true for you, let's, what do we do about that?
Yes, that's very kind. That's joining. Meeting them where they are. Yeah, that's very good. Without judgment.
Without judgment.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have a question here, though. Because there's, when you have, you know, strangers, feel you have, there's no attachments, you have to be strangers, so it makes it pretty easy.
Yeah.
But it's, I believe it's, isn't it kind of the attachment you have to the people you're close to that makes it difficult?
That's what he was saying.
Yeah, because you're making these judgments and you're so attached to them.
Yeah, and also, yeah, there's a continuity and a price to pay, and there, and in a special relationship, there's a little scorecard that nobody talks about.
Yeah.
What's going on there? Who's right this time? You know, yeah.
I will say if you do practice it, because, I started with strangers, but this started translating to everything, like at work, with my partner. So it's like, I think once you feel like you, this empowerment piece, like once you feel that you have done that and you understand that that's all you need to do, you don't need to do anything but be present, it does become easier. I mean, I've been in like couples counseling sessions where we're both in tears and I feel absolute peace, and like even it's gonna sound ridiculous, but even I have felt joy in that moment. So it is possible, but it takes the practice, the constant practice of doing it.
Yes, the joy might come from truth surfacing. The ego would like to hide, the ego would like to delay, the ego would like to have judgments, but in moments like that, there's just the present truth. And a big burden can just shift off from being honest.
Mm-hmm.
Being honest! Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the attachment would come first, and then when you make the attachment, then you start judging it.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it works.
Yeah, that's right.
Sometimes it's better to find out why you're attached. Sometimes the judgment won't give you much, but...
Well, that's a big job. To find out.
Yeah.
30 or 40. 30, that would do. 30 or 40, that's about right. That's the cost.
Yeah.
34 year each. It's the shortcut is I do not know.
Yeah.
But I do know this. I want peace. And if you get honest with that, now Holy Spirit can work with you. But the attachment to how it's supposed to look, your ego's got you. Because now we have to go do something to change the world. Yeah, it's going to be too hard. I'm not interested. The Secret and stuff, you know, that movie and everything. There's ways to go try to manifest. There's like teachings that will help you try to change the... Not Course in Miracles. The Course in Miracles is about you right now. You right now. This is the whole sum total of where Course in Miracles works. The only place I found freedom. Real freedom.
The other thing is I was teaching a class one time of graduate students in psychology, and the first thing I said to them was, well, you have to love your clients. And they all looked at me in shock. And I thought, wait a minute. How can you be with somebody and they're telling you something that's awful about what they've done or how they think about something, and if you don't love them, all you're going to want to do is walk out of the room.
You got a point there.
Aren't you supposed to have clinical detachment, though?
That's one school of thought. It's not mine.
Andrew, how far are you moving your marker?
All the way to lifting the veil.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Michaeline would be very happy.
Yes. We're going all the way to lifting the veil. Okay. Just to finish off, quickly turn to workbook page 400 and something.
Where the S's sound?
421 in the workbook. Ooh. Page number 421.
I'm not that far. I thought we weren't supposed to go ahead.
We'll try to forget what we're about to say, okay. And then you'll be okay.
253 at the
top. Look at lesson 253. Okay. On this, my true self is ruler of the universe.
Oh my God. What a responsibility that sounds.
Whoa! Look, it's impossible that anything should come to me unbidden by myself. Even in this world, it's I who rule my destiny. What happens is what I desire. And what does not occur is what I do not want to happen. How many times have I told you folks, your thought is your life. Your next thought is what you're going to live. What does not occur is what I do not want to happen. This must I accept. For thus am I led past this world to my creations, children of my will. In heaven, where my holy self abides with them and him who has created me. You are, you, now, talking to you, you are the true self whom you created, son. What? Do you see the circle? This is way off in the workbook, so if this doesn't make a lot of sense to you, don't hold on too tight, but get a feeling for those five words right there. You are the self whom you created, son. This is your prayer to God. You are the self whom you created, son. Creating like yourself and one with you. My true self, which rules the universe, is but your, God's will, in perfect union with my own, which can but offer glad assent to yours, that it may be extended to itself. Can you see the circle? That's the point. You got it. If you started to smell a circle there, that's what we're talking about. Good. All right, let's have a circle, speaking of circles. Yeah. We'll spend more time on that lesson when we get there.
I was fine until I got the last word.
Now we enter into the blacked out level of spirituality.
Okay, take a moment before we part. You feel the hands and the hands, your hands, there's other hands linking to a circle all the way around. Let's just be a little sign that you're not alone. You can't actually be alone. It's proof. Now also, take this moment to once again, before we go, to breathe in the idea. Just let it be true for a moment. You can suffer no loss. You, the true you now, that is here, you not paying much attention to the true you lately, probably, maybe 40 years, okay, but you, as you awaken up, what you awaken to being the true you, does not suffer loss. The false you, plenty of loss all the time, and there's more coming. The true you, the one that survives it all, you may as well go to that thought now, suffers no loss. In fact, the true you flows with love for all things that think they suffer loss. And that's operating also right now. It's always operating. That, my friends, is God. And you are that. Thank you, thank you. Amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Tough one tonight.
Make a point for that. You have more of an
attack. Well, you like actually
certainly for you.
Literally
getting
off, you know, getting over the awkward moment. It was that we had to live with this process.